Just consult your submission. We'll expunge that. Alright, any further input? Okay, shall we with those corrections, which amendment will be affected, shall we find the mover of the minute? Seconded by Honorable Lucas. All right, then this is dealt with. What is today? It's the 30th. All right. The following set would be the 14th of September. Did we not have a meeting in between? Or was it a recess? Oh, there was an oversight visit. Okay. Alright. So the set we are looking at now is the 14th September. I think what you didn't do in the previous set, that you are not doing in this set again, you are not reflecting people who are absent. Because we've got only three apologies there. Were we all there in the first one? Okay. What about the people from the IT? Where's your register? Because this thing must reflect. When we say in the chamber people do not attend meetings, it must then prove. If you attend this register, what parties are there?
Which date?
Which case?
The date, because I have to go to my office and get it. I have a copy.
What date?
This one, the perfect one. Okay.
They can see who was here from the audience.
Because we can ask the DA to sort that matter out for us.
Why?
Hey?
Just please dangle the talk.
Why have you removed the idea? Because we used to have Mr. Khayla. The bell.
Okay.
No, if they are not part of the committee, it's okay. It's all right. So are the other parties. They are not here. They've never been part of the
so why I say that is that because when the disease is taken, you get all these people coming in vacant seats, and they have
been. I think you're making a vital point, and. I don't know how we're going to sort it out. Number one, these other parties are small and overstretched. Some are one person, like your minority friend. But you are right, every time we debate, they pitch in the debate. And then they're talking from an uninformed basis, because they didn't participate in the committee. So I think the system allows them to do so, which is something that we may want to. So it's not only this committee, and a number of other committees. Yeah, all what they do, maybe they go to who are these people that normally take notes here? It's a
PMG.
PMG. And they go to PMG's records and see what is it that we have been doing. And based on that, it's simply a desktop, you know, research that they conduct and go and speak their own mind on the issue. Whether we can succeed in not allowing them to speak, I don't know.
It depends on us.
Seriously, for instance, we when we come back early next year, we would need to switch off because it's affecting. We would have to. We must identify a country, take our chance for June next year, decide on what is it that we want. I know that with the previous leadership, the arrangement was such that the entire committee goes, but goes once in 5 years. The present leadership says, no, if you have a need for a study tour, put in the application. But you must understand that we will not send the entire committee. Hence, I'm saying the question of delegation depends on us here. You won't take somebody who is not participating, and simply because we are now on oversight, what you call then, include them in there. So that's something that we must still think about. I'm planting that seed in your mind so that we can look at. Where do we want to go to do what? Can we still research nationalization? I don't know. Can we research mine health and safety? I don't know. But you can't research transformation anyway because we were the guinea pigs. Honor Bushmint?
I'm not sure that we're guinea pigs on transformation because Singapore has a very good transformation. Singapore or Malaysia, I'm not sure one of the. But, Malaysia. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
They started a business of, an American started, I have comments here. You write your comments for my lecture. but I just want to say that if any idea of planning a tour, you know, we've gone to Chile, we've gone to Bolivia, we've seen what the conditions are there, some favorable and some totally unfavorable. But I think one should go to a country where, I think a country like Australia, where they have a certain form of economic growth, their mining is growing. They also are challenged by issues of what they call resource nationalism, if not only in the form of that new tax system, the MRRT, Mineral Resource Rent Tax. So one should go and see, you know, whether those kind of measures are feasible and the outcome of it and what the impact is. So if anything, I think it's a good measure between what you would call a capitalistic system on which other kind of measures are imposed upon, like resource taxes and where nationalism was in fact introduced in the 1930s or 40s. It was in fact certain instances, certain aspects of, or they're trying to introduce, but there's something, some historical background fact to that.
With beneficiation also, we have places like Japan, who have no minerals whatsoever, and yet they do a lot of work. China, we need, if you go that way to Australia, they incorporate it to bring that way, those places.
All right.
I actually can go out after the committee at home.
I think you've planted a very good seed because we can look at the issue of mining generally, look at the issue of beneficiation, look at, for instance, Australia, especially Queensland, you can get quite good experience in terms of health and safety. they are basically the champions in as far as that is concerned. So maybe we'll need to look at that and then empower us more. So we'll have to work out a proposal that must be submitted to the powers that be. And okay. Shall we move on? We are on page one. We are on page one of 14th September. I was indicating that we need to put people that are absent. Yes. Have they all apologized? Okay, there's no need for that. All right. Any comments on the first page? Page two. Tabora Consulting. Honorable Lucas?
The last page of it, HDSA. Second line on the bottom.
Last paragraph?
Yeah.
Okay. Historically disabled.
I thought it was disabled.
Yes. When did you get that? Historically disabled. What does it mean?
It's September, okay.
Well, you are not historically disabled. You are disabled. That's the nature. Okay. All right, thank you for that. Page two, page three. Page three.
I just want to make sure about the word at page 3, 2.4, first bullet point, advance or vanish, or disappear, or disappear.
They vanish.
They vanish means it goes up into air, disappear means they go away.
Oh, okay.
Where's the word? Let's change that word to disappear.
Oh, okay, to disappear, okay. To contextualize the meaning. Over here, Honorable Mjogo, seconder, Honorable Smith. On to the other set, the 21st of September. Page one of the 21st of September. Any comments there, corrections? Okay, page two. Of that set.
I was about to say that in discussion, that first bullet was indicated in a meeting with Alex Kaur on 29 July. Alex Kaur had said that he did not know if he still existed, and there has been no contact with him. Charities were therefore sought, S-A-U-G-T, not sought, S-O-R-T.
The spelling there, man. Maybe they were thinking about sorting down when they were writing. Okay. The very first paragraph on that page, line number 3, committee good and valid reasons to why did they have to be subpoenaed. Why did they have to be subpoenaed? All right. Any other comment? Okay. Page number 3. Good. This I think is going to be rest of September. Can we get a mover here? Yes, Honorable Jova. Seconder, Honorable Murray. Then let's deal with the set of the 26th October.
Should it not have been indicated that what exactly the briefing was about instead of just mentioning that we had a briefing from legal services?
Oh.
If you look at the, under, briefing services
foundation.
Page 3. It's
page 3.
This is from the forensic unit on the same matter which the legal advisor, Ms. Pumelelo Ngemla, claims it is. That should be separated from a briefing by Alex for the Development Foundation to the briefing from legal services. Because they did give us a briefing in detail based on a document that they also got given a copy of. So I think it's necessary that at least an indication be given as to the discussions that went under that. Because those discussions are what led to the development of the meeting of the 18th of November.
Okay.
I don't know.
Just
indicate the options that were given.
Yeah.
That you discussed, you asked questions that were in relation to preparation for the 18th of November.
I think it's important because at the end, when we take decisions on the ADF, we will be basing also on the legal advice that we did receive. So, yes, it should be reflected in there, so that we can then trace it back. Okay, let's first deal with page one, if there are any comments, and then move on until we arrive at that page. Are there any comments on page two? Of the short meeting. Then page three, we will include the briefing by the legal. Include briefing on legal opinion. Okay. Either than that, is there anything else that we would want? Okay, can we approve them with the understanding that that will be included? So before I sign them, then I would ensure that that is included. Okay, are you moving in that direction or are we there, Mare?
Yes.
Who's second in that? Honorable Tinto. Okay. Then we'll go to the very thick minutes. Oh, it's a Bible. Okay, let's deal with these minutes of the 28th October. 6. Under the discussion, I don't understand that sentence. What was Aurora's act of insolvency? What do we mean?
Like you say, they are in law, there are few grounds of acknowledged act of when you conduct that act, or you are deemed to have conducted an act of insolvency. In other words,
if you owe me money and you write me back and say, I cannot pay you back, then that's an act of insolvency.
Okay.
So the grounds for another creditor taking you to court, act of insolvency.
All right. Okay. All right. Any other comments on page 6? In fact, on this Aurora issue, there are some developments reported in the media. I think it was the Mail and Guardian on Friday. That had carried the story on the issue of Aurora, and but it was linking it to the current Aurora situation and their venture into owning of aeroplanes, and but I think in terms of the provisional liquidators. They are still dealing with the issue of the Chinese that are coming in, and apparently there are other people who have indicated interest, but I'm not sure how far is that process. Okay, page number, where were we?
Mm-hmm.
Page number 7, page number 8. Page number 9. All right. Just a matter of following up on these actions. Yes, Mona, I will do that.
Just from the first sentence under responses.
Okay.
If you look under discussion for point 3, I'm just wondering if it's put correct. On page 10, in fact, you need to look at page 9 first, the first bullet point. Where there's a concern raised on the issue of name changing by companies. And you look at the response to that. It does correlate where the response on page 10 says Aurora had no track record anywhere in the world and did not belong to any employer's organization.
It's giving there the historical background of Aurora. The first one was addressing an issue where directors would be in a particular company and then they junction and form a new company, same directors, and run business under a different name.
Mm-hmm.
That's why on under the board, we're saying that we would have to look at the company's head and see whether it does prevent the abuse of this nature. And the indication there was that Aurora directors are involved in other businesses, but not under the company name Aurora, but in a different name altogether, but the same directors. like this issue of Friday, May the 30th, where the Aurora directors, some of them, are found in the space. They own, or they are BE partners in an aeroplane business. And on the other hand, they plead poverty when it comes to their obligation towards the creditors in Aurora. Well, of course, that would be permissible through the company there. You register a company, a subsidiary, and all of that. But then we said we must go back to that act and see, is there anywhere where they are preventing the approval by any? Because sometimes in one company, directors would claim that this company has gone under. Meanwhile, they went and opened a new business. In the same sector for that matter, but just changing the name and be somewhere else. Had we asked the liquidators whether Aurora has got assets, they said yes, Aurora has assets.
Now, how is it correctly correlated with the first sentence under response 4.4 that says Aurora has no track record anywhere in the world and did not belong to any employer organization?
This is what the provisional liquidator said.
Oh, they said.
Yeah.
Also, the first bullet on the discussion was just a concern from the member. That's the concern. So the first bullet and the response is not a response for the first bullet on the discussion.
All right. Let's move on. Then page 11. Okay. Movers and seconders. Honorable Schmidt. Seconded. Honorable Bigani. Okay. Do quality check on this document, on this in your section.
And those who the committee will be content advisors, they send them to the content
advisors. Yeah, but it's important to do it properly. Well, sometimes members would be concentrating on the content to look at, does it reflect what we discussed, does it reflect what we decided upon, and then the grammatic part, you know, sometimes these people with enough time to then go through, but we'll do the proofreading afterwards. Honorable members, shall we then move on to the reports? We dealt with the minutes. What other minutes are remaining?
I had two of them first, but for the public hearing on the implementation of the mining charter, I thought we were going to do the report. I just need to do the minutes, but I was told I also need to do minutes so that we can see attendance of members.
Oh,
okay. Brief.
So those are the only two outstanding?
Two, and then the three for the public hearing.
Which two are these?
It's Alex Cote Development Foundation and Sawima.
Remember the decision that the committee took, eh? Because if it takes quite some time before we receive minutes, tendencies to forget. And down the line, we might be caught up in a situation where we've taken decisions and we can't recall. So I think we need to keep up with that pace into the future. Alright, then honourable members, let's move on to the oversight report of the 5th to the 8th of September, Limpopo province, Sekhukhune region. And we would then have to deal with that report. That is why I also asked whether you have quality assurance process in the water course. Right. Have you got that report in front of you? Can we look at page 1 of the report? Are there any comments in that report? Hey, you are still receiving phone calls left, right, and center. And then we look at on page 1 the paragraph below bullet point. The above mentioned powers are further expatiated. Is that right? Is it expatiated or expatiated? Then, on point 2, on point 2, we need to add on another bullet point there. There's 1, 2, 3. Bullet point 4, which will be reflecting that general compliance to MPRDA, because that's also part of what we've been measuring. The general compliance to MPRDA, that's page 1. Any other comments on page 1? Page 2, composition of delegation. Page 2, page 3. Bullet point 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Bullet point 5 and bullet point 6. Because your heading is saying Modikwa Platinum Mine and Smoky Hills Platinum Mine, Manda's Hook Community, those bullet points needs to reflect that the mine security concerns we are raising there are the ones at Smoky Hill, Smoky Hills Platinum, and the 600 employees that we have a serious problem with are also in the same mine, Smoky Hill. Instead of 600 employees allegedly by Smoky Hill without following proper procedures. And the first one, mine security at Smoky Hill mines, was reported to override the South African Police Services Authority.
Chair, can I just one other one to be pedantic. I shouldn't read the authority of the mine security was reported to override the South African Police Authority's authority. It's not the authority of the mine security, not the mine security itself. So if one really wants to be pedantic, the authority of the mine security was reported. And then dismissal of 600 employees, without allegedly following proper procedures. So the allegedly should just be after following. Otherwise, you kind of put a question mark with it. Was the dismissal that was alleged, or was it the...
Did you pick that up? See, that first bullet point, the minds were accused of using traditional leaders as buffers between them and the community. In the previous page, bullet point two from the bottom, Smoking Hills Platinum Mine was suspended of operating without a mining license. It was accused of disrespecting traditional leaders. So, on one page, you disrespect respecting the traditional leaders. On the other page, you are using them as buffers. I think you talked because you have combined Modikwa Mine and Smoky Hill under one. So now, surely, in terms of Smoky Hill, you are right in referring to that, but this is referred to Modikwa Mine. Because Modikwa Mine respects and makes use of traditional leaders. Remember? The second bullet point on that same page four, the trenches were dug to lay down water pipes, but there has been no progress. The community reported that it still does not have potable water. Where is this? Where is this? We have to say that. We have to say that so that it's not just a general statement. It needs to reflect that Mangasu community complained that the trenches were dug to lay down water pipes, but there's been no progress, blah, blah, blah. Okay. And ownership, that bullet point on ownership. The community owns 8.5% of Modikwa Platinum Mine. In which way? Through what? Shouldn't we be saying that they own it through their Section 21 Kappa? Through the community Section 21 Kappa?
Then shouldn't my ownership and commission be respected?
It's a whole deal of the ancient business of the mine. Shutter meeting, Section 21 board meeting. Yeah. I'm not in consortium. In this case, you refer to engagement. How well, how do they engage? Okay. All right, any other comments on page 4? Page 5. Page 6. number 7. On 6.2, there was this complaint that the mining company has approved the 50 million rand, but it's not yet spent. I think we need to reflect that on that second bullet point. 50 million rand was approved for low cost social housing projects for next year. That is 2012. And we need to note that this money has not as yet been spent. Because it talks to some of these issues that were raised in this mining company, that you approve ambitious plans and big budgets, but then when it comes to implementation, not implement, and as a result, you are cutting the attempt for job creation. Good there that the year is reflected as 2012. Surely, by now, such things as planning in terms of the what is this thing called professional teams. Like your engineers, your town planners, your the zoning of the land itself. Those things, you know, need to happen first. And it takes quite some time. It takes some time, like for instance, it can take about a year before you could then arrive at the actual implementation of the project. Hence, you know, the fact that this has not been. All right. Any other comments on page 7? Page 8.
7.2.
Yes.
Bullet 4. Some residents are very concerned that their residential home has developed cracks due to mining illegal.
Page number 9, Okada. Smoky Hill. This mine has got different names. Absolutely. under observation, should you not say lack of harmonious relationship? Company community relationship. All right, page number 10.
On page 11, on the recommendation, the last bullet, the delegation will return to the province within the period of 3 months to follow up on progress made regarding issues that were raised. Is that, can that be honored?
Oh, 3 months has long passed.
Yes. And the committee has not gone back.
Yeah. 3 months have passed. Let's say you're right, the delegation will return to the province without specifying the period. Within possible time. The delegation will return to the province within a possible time period to follow up what progress made. So, not reflecting our conclusion on this motion here. Which was not a very good conclusion. Very safe for Qatar. Could there be any reason why we're not reflecting that? But yes, in terms of Motiqua, fine. Probably our feelings, but in terms of smoking here, it left a very bad taste in our mouth. Why would it not be reflected here? The reason why you need to reflect that here is because that company is still trapped into serious challenges as we speak. We are pursuing the matter via DMR and there are threats of the license being involved. So, in our own recommendation, we need also to come very strongly. I think what we have seen there, the very first reflection was the militarized approach of style of their security, of the mine security. There was a makeshift post gate there with people with big machine guns which indicated a very much, shall we say, hostile attitude between the mining company and the community. Of course, the mine itself has got its own accusations against the community, which they say is as a result of their former employees, whom after they've been retrenched or dismissed, they then stir up problems within the community. Now, I think that was the first reflection. The second issue was that the company, it was quite clear that it's not in intending to invest in that mine, because they say the life of mine is 5 years. And we know that it's not 5 years. But they have got a makeshift arrangement, even offices. Offices are, what's this thing? Permanent. I'm not talking. Prefab and containers. So there's no infrastructure that has been put in there, in that mine. So which indicates to us that there could be an intention of just looting the resources and leave the country. There's no rehabilitation plan that they could show us, which again is indicative of their lack of commitment within the country. So really we need in this conclusion to rework this. We need to reflect on Smoky Hills so that when we come to recommendations, we need to basically be calling upon the department to basically invoke its lease license on companies that show disdain on the mining laws. It can be business as usual. So I think you would have to then, as a team, work out on our conclusion on, as far as that is concerned. And in the recommendation, we'll deal with the issue of the invoking of the, what you call, but also to call upon the department to pay more attention to smoking in terms of inspections and so forth. See this approach of combining the two, even in your recommendations, it doesn't list precisely what is referred to Montego Mine, what is referred to, because these are separate oversights. We go to this mine, we find this, we go, in one mine we would find very good things. And now when somebody reads the recommendations, you get confused. Because the recommendations that are aimed at a mining company that have got a bad behavior are lumped under one and the same. So find a way of separating them. So that we know that for Modigwa, this is what we're saying. For Pukataba, this is what we're saying. So that these two. Because for Pukataba, we will be very strong on saying what must be done by the department and right up to the minister. So what I remember, I don't know, I think the big body of the report is good. Now, all what the team needs to do now is to then work on this. I don't know what to do. Should we adopt it? And then it becomes the responsibility of the office of the chair to then ensure that those recommendations are put, or would you want it to come back to the committee?
It can be adopted, Chief, because it's a matter of them just splitting what they were saying, the recommendation, so that we are also able to follow up. Adopt the report with corrections.
And making the those conclusions.
Mr. Chair, yes, I don't mind as long as it just sticks within the confines of, you know, what we've discussed here. But I do need to stress that if these reports, not a minute, if the reports were to be discussed in Parliament, we would like to have a turn to say our say as well, to have our speech as well, because it is, and I will do so in future, Mr. Chair, as a standing procedure, because our interpretation of this report differs from your interpretation of the report. Not that the report's contents are wrong, but it's the interpretation of the report which is my concern. So, Mr. Chair, if this report is to be debated, or you stand there in front to present the report, we would like to have a speaking turn as well. So, if it comes up at the procedure, I will let my chief whip know as well, and we will be looking for a debate in this.
Well, yeah, you see, Honorable Schmidt, it has been this practice that in almost all reports, even if we had agreed here, you would raise your objection. Now, what we normally do is we introduce the report. We table it, in fact. Now, in tabling the report, you don't simply put, you don't simply read what is in the report. You talk to the report in more general terms. You're given what, 5 minutes? Now, we can't split that 5 minutes in many ways. So, of course, when you introduce a report, you give a background. And we must not run away from this fact that we are in politics here. We are not administrators.
That's also why I want my 5 minutes. Exactly that reason.
Yeah. And it's unfortunate that the rules tell us that the report gets introduced, you raise your objection. You call for division for that matter, when you so wish. So we can't take that right away from you. Don't want to take our right away from us. In terms of introducing the report, we introduce, we table it, you do what you like with it. So, but there are issues that we would want to take each other's hand and introduce in the House and debate. For instance, if you come in the committee and you say to us, let's look at this particular topic, we would want to introduce a debate. Either through yourselves, or you would want us to introduce that debate. So that time, sufficient time is set aside. We can then do so. For instance, on the issue, I don't think that the report on the mining charter can be just introduced like this other report, and that's the end of it. It could be a situation where we debate the report on mining charter, if you so wish. If you want to waiver that right, I'm fine. I will introduce the report on the mining charter. Yes, Honorable
Schmidt? Mr. Chair, now my problem is, and let me put you as my problem. We do not have take issue with most of what's in the report. In other words, you don't have a problem with the report. But then you make a speech, and the speech does not reflect on the contents of the report. And then it says, but did you agree to that report? Because what you are saying there, and the interpretation given to the report differ, which means that if we don't get the opportunity of differing from you, we're going to oppose the report because we don't know what you're going to say in Parliament. And that's the politics of the issue. So we're all here for the politics. So if you want to play the politics, fine. Then we will play the politics. And we will oppose this report. So we will then ensure that there's a division. But you cannot say we play politics but according to your line. Because then we, from the start, we're going to disagree with the report. That's still what I'm saying, Mr. Chair. You can't have it both ways. It doesn't work that way.
Honorable Lucas?
Yes. Yeah, Mr. Chairman, but I think what should happen is that the report mustn't deviate from what we discussed. It should try to keep to it as close as possible. Because if we agree to it here, we must be able to agree to it in Parliament also. But if we find that these other issues that then it becomes a bit of a challenge. So we'll try and keep to what we say here
and will agree, and otherwise I have no problem.
No, I think if you listen to the last reports that were introduced, the issues there were more general, and issues were not far from what we have found. What bugs Honorable Schmidt is that we say we've got mining companies that are exploiting our resources, our mineral resources, but there's poverty. We found poverty. I mean, I'm not going to say it in your own words. And indeed, as a deployee of the ANC, I would be saying, what is it that the ruling party is doing about that poverty? Which is a fact. And which are some of the things that we discuss here, some of the things that we pick up when we are conducting oversight. Now, it's up to you if you want to disagree that no, there's no exploitation of our mineral resources and that there's no poverty in the country. If you would like to pull a wool on your eyes, it's fine. But indeed, introduce, for instance, the last report which we introduced were precisely that issue. What you didn't like is the general tone of the introduction of the report, because I didn't go specifically to say in this area this is what we found, in this area this is what we found. We put a general view in terms of what is happening in the mineral resources, in the mineral sector. I know the time going into the future, we're going to have serious differences, for an example, in terms of what is the future within the sector. You are going to want to defend your the big business. Let's just be blunt about that. For instance, in the question that was asked by Honorable Hululu in the House, your follow-up question was to say you are happy with what the mining companies have said and done, in your view. And the minister threw it back at you, that indeed they can give you good presentations, but the fact of the matter is that they are not transforming. So I'm saying, therefore, that is expected, and it will continue to be expected into the future. But all I'm raising is that when you introduce a report, you introduce it with preamble, because you are not talking, because you can't spend 5 minutes, for instance, on this report. Can't spend 5 minutes and think you have done justice. You will just be general about issues that you found and the cause and factors of those. Yes, agreement.
Yes, Mr. Chair, but if that is in the case, that you're going to make a political speech out of a report, and I'm going to tell you now, we're going to oppose this report. We're going to oppose every report, because what you are saying in Parliament is your political interpretation to a report to which we have visited, we have found some of the factual issues, but your interpretation of those issues do not agree with my interpretation. Because such is the instance of the mining company. We're not particularly for the big business. Big business is one of the constituents. But it doesn't help to slag off the mining company when they come to Parliament and say, this is what we've done. We don't take offense with it, or we don't put it into dispute. Now suddenly we disagree. But then you've got to disagree on the floor with that mining company, saying, I do not accept this 20% or 30%. And then debate with them. But don't accept the report where they come and say, well, we've agreed to the, or we've abided to the 2014 targets. Now, no one takes issue. And then say, but mining companies are not transformed 3 years in advance. That interpretation, we will not accept, because it is a misrepresentation of the facts. And that's why, if that's the route we're going to go, we're going to oppose every report and dispute every report on the basis of your political interpretation. That's what I'm saying. Not that we're carrying the wool over our heads, not that we say there's no poor poverty. We're saying that your interpretation differs from our interpretation.
No, you see, Honorable Schmidt, let's take the mining company. We have been saying in their faces that it's unbelievable that in 2009, when you are measured in 2010, you are found not to be compliant within a year, you are compliant, you are over compliant. This is what we've been saying. And also, if you remember, we would be taking them on when it comes to their ownership arrangement. We've been probing the matter whether this ownership is it a meaningful ownership, and whether it is incumbent or unincumbent. You have been sitting in those public hearings, and they would see themselves, they would also themselves say, yes, these people are trapped into debt.
No.
You see, the issue is, if they are trapped into debt, it's different from me and you. But you're talking of mining, because then what does this 26% mean? If you are trapped into debt and you are not receiving anything, it's only now that they are considering the flow-through arrangement, where there is a trickle dividend that gets paid to those people. Before, it was not there. And hence we're saying, you are bluffing the country, you are misleading the country if you say you have complied. Meanwhile, you're talking of people that you have put into more debt. For instance, what do you do when the community, for instance, let's look at this very report. The community owes a mining company 300 million. Where will they get that money from to pay that company before they could enjoy benefits? Would you then say that there's been transformation? The answer is no. That's why once they say we have set aside this, you still see poverty.
Mr. Chair, can I say, I would not mind. To me, if you give me, or my community, or whichever community, or my family, whatever community you'd like to, shares on the basis that you give it to me, and then for the next 10 years, there's no flow through benefit, but after 10 years is my share. I wouldn't mind. Don't you think that's transformation? If I were to give you my car, and say, don't worry, I'll pay for the car, after 3 years it's yours, but you can use it in the meantime. If I have a house, which is also bonded, Does it make an owner of that house or not?
You see, the issue
is
that
your interpretation.
The issue here, Honorable Schmidt, is that if you give me your car, I enjoy the benefit of using your car. In this instance, it's tokenism. You say to people here, you have 26%, they get nothing. Even, who knows what happens in that 10 years. Meanwhile, you are promising them about the future. You are promising them about a life in heaven, life after death. Meanwhile, they are suffering now. That's why in all these areas that we have visited, mining companies have got these beautiful plans and presentations, but on the ground, people are trapped in asset poverty. That's why we say, that's not transformation. You can't say to your kid who's hungry now, oh, my child, wait until the end of the month. I'm working. That should give you a guarantee that there will be an income. But you will only eat at the end of the month. Do you think that can be a sustainable arrangement? It can't be. Today, as we speak, people are suffering. Today, as we speak, kids are going into church for school. One class is in that corner, another class is in that corner. In one church, there's four classes going on at the same time. Is that quality education? It's not. So we're saying, these companies are misleading the country because they, in terms of their presentation, they are putting beautiful pictures. And that's what basically we have been taking them on, to ask how far down the line have you gone.
Mr. Chair, it doesn't help. Maybe it's a good discussion, but what I'm saying is, it comes down to the following. Whether one accepts what the mining companies are doing or not, it's an interpretation. It's a political interpretation. Money companies are coming and saying they've paid 286 million rand for, let's say, water reticulation. They've paid it. Who's benefiting? But the point is they've paid it. Which other stakeholders are there except the mining sector, which contributes 5%? Just to give an indication of our point of view, 5% of the economy. You're expecting 5%, a sector which contributes 5% of the economy, to fix 100% of the problem. That appears to be the problem. You cannot expect of a sector which is 5% to 600% of the problem. Secondly, what, and that's the other part of the question, which keeps on being evaded, companies, mining companies pay 50% of their earnings. 50, if not more, in taxes. What happens to that money? It does not go back to this community. The question is, why not? So there's a royalty in addition to those taxes. What happens to this money? I'm not saying government has a right to use money as it wishes. But then it must be responsible for the fact that that particular mine has paid X billion rand of profit, of taxes. And that community is seeing nothing of it except what the mining community is doing. And no other sector is doing or being expected to make a contribution to the plight of those people as the mining community is. So we don't differ with the facts. We don't say there's not a poor community. We're not saying there's good schools. We are saying, look at it with a broader perspective and then see that what you are doing is not causing. Read today's Business Day. Mining sector dropped 17.4% in one quarter, Mr. Chair. If this mining sector keeps on dropping 17.4%, I predict you in 10 years there'll be no mining sector. As full stop. So all these factors determine whether what we are doing on the mining sector is the correct approach or not. If you say it's the correct approach and you keep on dropping 7.4%, Mr. Chair, that's the question to answer yourself.
You see, I'm going to allow other members to also participate. This is what differentiates you from us. This is this line of divide. Because you are attempting to justify the unjustifiable. We've been mining in this country for more than 100 years. People have actually been literally raping this country, taking our minerals away from us, benefiting. Even the very same mining companies you're talking about today, they are making super profits. As we speak, if you look at the commodity price, there's a boom. You look at the price of platinum, you look at the price of gold, and so forth. But in return, what are we getting as a country from the exploitation of these depleting resources? Because you can't replace them. They are gone. And in return, what do the mining communities, where mining is actually taking place, get into? For instance, look at De Beers. A shining example. Look at De Beers. For more than 100 years, the Oppenheimer family has been invested in this country. All of a sudden, because now there's a core. They didn't disinvest during the apartheid period, when the majority of the people of this country were oppressed. But they stayed. But now that we're talking transformation, now that the debate is raised on how do we benefit, all of us, from the mineral resources, the Oppenheimer family is now taking away its investment in De Beers. They may be looking after themselves. And you look at how South Africa assisted them to build their profile across the world. Now, we're saying you can't plead poverty meanwhile you are making super profits. Even these companies today that are making profits, so those super profits, you can look at all their, financial results, financial reports. They tell you it's an open secret. You are informed of what monies they are making. Where do they go to? Do they then replow enough back to those communities? You're talking taxes. The taxes, me and you know. Where does that money go? Because every now and then we approve budgets here in the National Assembly. There are a number of things that the country does. But we're saying, over and above the taxes that you pay, look after the people that you are doing business within. Charity begins at home. You can't just say, no, government must see to this whole thing. But also we must remember that these mining companies, for so long, before the advent of the mining charter, for that matter, they have just been mining, living. For instance, now we've got a debt of what? More than 30 billion rand for rehabilitation of the ownerless and derelict mines.
Can you tell me that they paid 30 billion rand taxes to the state? They didn't. But they moved, they ran away with profits. They have left this liability to the state, which means even the very same taxes that they pay, the state must then plow back and redo their mess. I'm saying, I don't want this dialogue. I'm going to allow Honorable Lucas, Honorable Bigani, and then it will be back to you. But I think it's an important debate that when we introduce this report, you state the facts as it is. And we know that you will arrive, as you are doing now, in defense of these mining companies. Honorable Lucas?
I think it's a very interesting debate this is, but I appreciate it. The problem is we need to take a couple of steps back. We, first of all, is that the minerals of the... we have all the minerals, most of the minerals that you can think of in the world. We have them in this country. And we have never measured how has this benefited this country. And that is the unfortunate point. And business people are there to make money. They will organize their businesses, they will put offshore investments, and all sorts of ways and means of getting your taxes down to the bare minimum. So these are the old issues that we have to look at and look at very closely. And one mistake the people who have been more privileged make, they've forgotten about the people of the country. Where we took this visit here, the local people are not employed. The other day I got a phone call to say they're busing people in from somewhere else because they can talk to those people. And it's using transport to convince them and bring them back and forward, which costs much more than costs. Employ the people who are right there. And we must begin to learn how to communicate. We need to communicate. And if we can do that and put all our reasons behind here, why we think this, and eventually we'll be able to find out how we can work together. Because we all come from different areas and with different experiences. So I would really, maybe we could, this calls for a meeting where we can discuss them openly and in a more relaxed atmosphere without the press. And I think it is necessary. But I did say, Mr. Chairperson, is that what I feel is that if we make a report, let us be very happy with the report. So when you go there, we can say, yes, that's our report from the committee. And I would be pleased.
Okay, Honorable Villain.
No, Chair, I also think I want to reiterate the fact that this doesn't sound like it can be a whole day's debate because it isn't raised by the motion. So unfortunately, I'm just cooled off. But, Chair, I think also it's important that as a committee, because it bothers me a bit that, you know, Honorable Smith, to be honest, it does bother me the fact that you find that we discuss issues, the development in relation to our views, in relation to the mines and so on. But you become surprised when, like in a budget vote debate, then only some views come out that we didn't have a platform for or that we didn't have time to discuss within the committee. There's such an exercise, Chairperson, be created in this very platform so that by the time we go to the House, we actually have a common understanding on certain issues. I'm saying this in relation to your comment about the fact that I give somebody a car and they must just be happy, because my view in relation to that would then be an issue of saying you are still saying or still maintaining, let's say the mining industries in particular, still maintaining the fact that what is mine is mine. It mustn't come to a point where you interfere with what is mine. If I've given you what I've given you, be happy with it. But the problem is that in that being given a car and the car has some faults, there's no teaching to that small miner as to, now how do I maintain this? And there's no teachings in terms of financial management and so on. That's where my argument is coming. But I also want to reiterate the fact that I wish we could have a platform of a similar nature where we don't have an interference of minutes that we have to approve. We look at these issues, especially on the fact of nationalization. We hit each other here, we come straight out with it as to why do we motivate the way we motivate. By the time we go to our budget vote debates or even a debate in parliament, then we already have a commonality from the committee, and then we stop surprising each other inside there. Thank you, Chair.
Yes, Mr. Chair. I think, you know, what one should do is rather should, you know, go for a break where we can discuss this, because I think there's a lot of, let's call it misunderstanding, whether it is, I hope it's not deliberately done, because within the confines of certain meetings, I think one could say, well, you know, that could be possibly deliberately, but one needs to be put able to put your view and say, these are the facts as I find them, this is my interpretation of it. And I think that needs to happen, because we are somewhere along the line, we're missing each other, and I don't think ever will we say there are no poor communities. Never ever will we say the mining community is 100% correct. Never ever will we say the community's involvement is 100% correct. Never ever, there's always fault to be found in any human activity, whether it's a mine company, whether it's a community, whether it's a government, whether it's opposition. But that we need to realize. But we need to determine what are the basic facts, and then disagree, understand what we disagree and why we disagree, and then try and find common ground. Because we are, in my view, and I'm saying so hopefully without the media here, but I share your view.
Let me check if you're worried about the media. Did Linda not leave her machine here?
But what I'm saying is, there is clearly a growing concern from whichever angle you look, whether it's from the mining, whether it's from government, whether it's from political, whether it's from community, there's a growing concern that where we're heading is not the correct end result. And it's interpreted by different sections differently. And it is my view, not with poor political reasons, but it is damaging this mining sector. I mean, you look at the figures, look at the statistics. The figures don't lie. So all I'm saying is that one should sit down and talk to each other and say, I'm saying this not because I am from the DIA. I'm saying it because it's my perception of what I read in the newspaper. Engage in that perception. You can put your perception and we can engage in it. And say, but I misunderstood you because of this or that. But never ever will we... everyone has an opportunity to have his own opinion. No one has a right to have his own, but no one has a right to differ from the facts. The facts are the facts, but your opinion, you may differ. So I don't want us to differ on the facts, I want us to differ on the opinion, understand? So that's my point of view.
Yeah, no, you see, the issues here are the status quo is unsustainable in the mining sector at all. Now, for instance, the mining sector is bad-mouthing itself. If you open a newspaper on a daily basis now, the debate is about how bad is nationalization. They are excelling in doing that. There are other formations also that are on the bandwagon. But what is missing is, if you say the status quo is not good, and you say nationalization is not good, what is then good? Nobody's coming up. All what they, for instance, now the department is struggling to get them to comply with minimum standards in the mining charter, minimum standards in the MPRDA. What is this that the mining industry, the owners of this instance, are putting forward? That would address one, the fact that minerals are the common, you know, common heritage of all South Africans, and therefore it means we must all benefit. Two, how do we ecologically, in an ecologically proper manner, do we develop these minerals? Because you see the degradation of our environment, and some of these mining companies taking a flight, leaving, you know, an environment that is degraded in the hands of the state, and the state must now put aside its other priorities and deal. For instance, we're talking of the acid mine drainage. I still want us to visit that. Let's have another session once more on this acid mine drainage and ask this proper question, who must pay for this? Do
Because every now and then, for instance, when you pose questions, you ask government, what are you doing, government? Is government a polluter? And the answer is no. Mining companies are the polluters. At what stage are we going to hold them directly accountable for what they have done? So we need to look at those matters. The third issue is we are coming from a very bad past in the country. We can't run away from that. You can't wipe it, especially in our generation. That cannot be erased from our minds. We are coming from a very bad past where the people of this country were divided along racial lines. And so it goes with, you know, the service delivery. It's uneven as we speak. For instance, people are talking deeply about how flawed our education system is. And they are tracing it back to what we have inherited from the past. The similar situation. You can say that, no, you are 17 years into democracy, and there's all of those nice things. But the fact of the matter is that you can't correct hundreds and hundreds of years of colonialism. You correct it within a decade or two. It doesn't happen like that, because it requires long-term planning and all of that. So I'm saying, therefore, when you deal with the mining sector, which has had quite a serious impact in terms of the industrialization of the country and making a positive contribution to the economy of the country, you can't miss it that people are expecting more from the mining industry. But in our situation, we're more concerned about workers who are in that industry and the mining communities where mining is taking place. We're not saying that mining companies must take full responsibility for everything across the country. We would be saying also for people who are in the fisheries, in the fishing industry, take care of your immediate coastal communities, and so it goes. But I agree we would need some time to debate, but also I understand that we can debate and agree here, but when you go to your caucus, you are given a different perspective. You are directed in a particular way. Hence, the answer to Honorable Bigani, surprises will never end. We are in politics. This is a game of politics. So it does happen. You can be how understanding around the table as the committee, but when it comes to your caucus will instruct you what to do. You know, look at the information bill. I mean, some of our own colleagues decided to take a different route, and surely it doesn't go well with their party. We would expect the same from you. If the instruction is opposed, you will oppose. And that we cannot take away from you. But then I think, yes, we must have a discussion, because we carry a responsibility beyond our own party in as far as the future of the mining sector is concerned. And I don't know what formula can we use to can be able to get to that. But fine, it's for another time, another day, at another place. Yes.
And we agree that we will try and organize this meeting where we can discuss it openly. If we have agreed, let's not spoil it now. I just cannot continue discussing.
What would you call it?
Honestly, what I'm trying to say, we need to get things out. We need to discuss. Because we all of us can learn. We can influence the next person of view. But basically, I think we all think alike around here. The other thing is that as the private debate, while you can do what you like, there will always be them. Because the people, you can get some of the issues that will come up will be contrary to what has ever happened. And the minister is going to say something else when introducing the debate. So when you fire from the different members, we definitely will not be seeing it from the same issue.
Okay. All right. Now we'll coin the discussion. But yes, we will have to have a discussion. And pretty soon, I think once the whole report of the research team from the ruling party, we must leave you, you see. We're the ruling party.
So maybe that's the basic principle of this meeting.
Yeah.
this be open-minded.
Yes.
Let us think for ourselves. If we've got a couple of corporate decisions, then we're going backwards. We must go back and influence the focus. You must go back to your chairperson of the mineral resources, must be able to say, how can all the effects of this committee will not know?
Mm.
I do this when I get to my committee, they people come and talk, say things which I just heard. But I don't know where you're getting that from.
Yes.
Because these are the facts.
Mm.
Mm. Because you've got to know that I think we must influence our focus.
Yeah, no, that's good. All right, then we say, in terms of this report, you will split it, especially on the concluding part and on the recommending part. Do we approve it on those of that understanding, or do we want it to come back to the committee? What's your view?
The best advice I think can give myself and Mr. Maria is to say we abstain from either supporting or objecting, because that gives us the opportunity of opposing your speech in Parliament on the basis of the same things on which we don't agree with your opinion. But how else do we resolve that matter if you say that you have the only right to introduce a report and no one else has the right to speak? Then we can't go along with what you say, whether we agree with the report or not.
All right, let's separate this thing. Here we are dealing with the report of the committee, which will go into HSE.
Which will be discussed in Parliament,
that's
my problem.
No, hang on. That's a record. It's there, can be changed. But when it comes to the chamber, the current practice is that if the report is not going to be debated, the chairperson or his nominee or his or somebody that he delegates will introduce the report 5 minutes, and indeed you have a right to say yes, we agree. You have a right to say no, we don't agree. But as far as the report is concerned, when you look at the ATC, you can take an issue if what is reflected in parliamentary records is not what you have agreed to.
That's not here. My problem is, and my question is, maybe my question will, my our conduct will be resolved by the answer to my question. That is, if I agree to this report, you introduce that report, on what basis will I be able to say, we also want to talk on this report? Or will it be possible? Because that's basically my problem. Because if I can agree to this report, I will then ask that we also have an opportunity to debate this report. If you tell me there is an opportunity, by all means, I'll agree to this report. But I'm not, I don't think it would be fair to agree to this report. You give your interpretation as to what the content of this report is without being in a position to say to the House our understanding of this report. Understand what I'm saying? So it's a question of procedure, not a question of content of report. Because I'm concerned about your interpretation of this report, not the report itself.
That's my issue.
Chairperson, maybe I'm a bit lost, Honorable Schmidt. Is the problem in us adopting this report because it's going to go through an ATC? Or is the problem on what you think that you're going to put into the report?
Because let me explain to you what happened the last event. And that is based on what happened at the last presentation of the report. I don't know whether you were there, Mr. Bikani, but we agreed to the report. And what the chairman said, I say with due respect, was an interpretation of that report which was not in accordance with our understanding and our interpretation of that report. So what was presented to Parliament was as if we were agreeing with your opinion as to what was in the report. Not the report itself, but your opinion as to what was. We may have differing views on this report. We may say
the beers did whatever it was supposed to have done. You were saying that the beers did not do so, but the facts are there. You understand what I'm saying? Now, I don't have the opportunity of saying, no, Mr. Chairman, we don't agree with your interpretation because we don't have the opportunity to stand up and debate the matter. So it doesn't become a debate, it becomes the ANC's political interpretation of this report.
Can
that's
I,
my problem.
Can I
think
I can solve
this
matter, Mr. Chairman. We had the report here. You gave a report at the Parliament. Let's get those two reports and put them together. And I think we'll solve the problem.
In the previous one?
Yes.
No, for the future it will resolve, but I think we need to address the structural problem, the rules in Parliament say not all committee reports will be debated in the House. It requires only the chairperson to table the report or introduce the report and the chief whip of the majority party to then put the motion. Other parties would agree or disagree with the motion. You see, because we can't change those rules yet. I can't say to you, you will have your time to respond to me.
I understand, but my point is, what do I do now? That's my question. So you leave me no option but to say, we will at best abstain from the report, because if we agree to the report, we might not have an opportunity to debate the matter.
Let's ask this question further. If you abstain, what does it change? If you agree, what does it change? Because if you adopt the report as it is written,
and then what opportunity do I have to debate?
No. Let's leave the opportunity because we have said
that's my concern, Mr. Chair. My concern is your interpretation in the House on a report which was unanimously adopted, me giving a different interpretation to it. That's my concern. So then we've got to start from that point and then we're back.
You see, the issue here is that the rules of Parliament are giving the ruling party that opportunity. That's what you do in the legislature here in Western Cape. Your chairpersons of committees are the ones who introduce the report. When you introduce the report, we are politicians here.
But now I'm going to act like a politician and abstain from this report.
Of course, you have a right in the House to object. You have a right in the House to call for a division. That's where you test your political strength. But what we're saying here is that we're in the committee. Is this a fair reflection of what had happened? If you say yes, then we adopt the report. It goes to the HEC. It's a record. What we then stand up and say, for instance, in the budget vote, let's take that as an example. In the budget vote, you don't talk figures. The budget is figures, but you don't talk figures. You talk general in terms of the politics of the issue. So let's not want to change the rules as we go on. Because the issue is, we will say to you in this committee, fine, if you want to vote against this, do that, we'll then vote. The majority will pass this. In the House, the same thing will happen. The majority will pass it. And it's going to, even if you call for a division. But we're saying, apply your mind. Are you objecting to... You apply your mind, you are abstaining the views of the other members?
I don't think we should end this way. I think this committee, we should try and work together. I would really plead with this here. And if we cannot work together and agree on a small issue, there's no point in having committee meetings. Why the heck are we having committee meetings? It's to find a common understanding. Let's try and do that. And I think we can go forward. Because if we're going to go for votes, there's nothing you can pass. You can just go to the ANC caucus and say, do it. But then it will be finished. But I think this is one place I'm happy with coming to Parliament. It's because I can voice my opinion. And I wish we could allow that to happen. And if we then that's why I'm insistent that we should meet to clear the air.
and 15, one happy family. We will, we can't agree on everything. But we, there must be a way of working going forward.
Now, you see, Honorable Lucas, we agree on that meeting when we discuss more general. But the issue here is, do you have power to change the rules of parliament? We don't. And we're saying this, that each and every party exercises its own right when it comes to the chamber. Now, it's different from what we do at this level in the committee. Because here, you can change the report to your party and say, this is what we have agreed upon. And you can look at the ATC to confirm that what is ATC there is what we have agreed upon, period. But what happens at the floor, it's beyond me. Even my party would not allow me to stand there and simply read introduction, background, even time is not allowed. In fact, if we were so simple, you would be allowed the platform to say, here's our report, I came to here, go and sit down.
Yeah,
that's not
problem.
Quality.
I understand the problem. As long as you understand my problem, we agreed to abstain and we will deal with it with by ratio of procedure with my people as to how we deal with it. Because it doesn't help you belaboring the point. I can't sit in Parliament. You're giving a political spin on a document which differs from our position and we agree with the report. It cannot be done that way. I'm sorry to say. If the cause of that is rules in the House in Serbia, then we can't agree with the report. Because the outcome does not a fair reflection as to understanding of the report. That's basically what I'm saying. Without being cross or being upset or being whatever, then it's a rule which allows us not to agree with the report.
What do you know, what am I going to say when I report, when I present it for some time next year?
I don't know, but the problem is you did it last time. That's my problem.
Was it for the first time?
Mr. Chair.
You know, at the last meeting, you were presenting that report. Everyone was looking at me saying, how could you agree to that report? And I said, but that's not our understanding of that report. And that's why I'm making a big fuss. But because I will not go into another meeting with the same set of factors applying again. Mr. Chair, you did it. This is a consequence of your conduct, not a consequence of my conduct.
Okay.
That's a consequence.
Chair, I really don't know what prompted this. I thought this was about this report, but when I listened to Mr. Schmidt, it's about the previous report. But we've just gone through this report, and we agree that there are amendments, and we support the report with amendments. Now, I don't know what is the problem, because we're doing it in the presence of Mr. Schmidt, and he is present. He is doing it with us, the report.
Mr. Chair, can I put it? I don't think we need to do this debate. What are we doing? We're abstaining from voting on this report. Can we just put that on record? Because I think I've stated my our views at least two or three times. It's not going to help you to restate it. We work together as far as we can, and we do so in good faith. But if the result is different to what we think it should be, then we can't agree.
Yeah,
yeah.
No problem.
You know, Chair, I understand what you're saying, Honorable Madam. And we understand what the chairperson presented. Honorable Smith, also sorry, Madam. And we understand what Honorable Smith is raising as having had as a concern from your own party. Now, in the first place, you find that very often, Chair. In as much as the attendance has improved, we'll put it that way. But very often, you'll find that there's always a debacle when he was not present in terms of that report, or in terms of that visit having taken place, as in the case of this report. Now, I don't understand where the issue is, because it still doesn't change anything from us even deciding then as a committee that if there's an issue on the table that we want to take in for a debate, we conclude so within a committee meeting after discussing it. But it doesn't change the fact that after all these years, you have a report that has to be tabled, and at the end of the day, if the committee, they would have gone through it and corrected it. So all I'm saying is that, as the Honorable Tinto has said, that we are saying it must be adopted, with the relevant changes that need to be made or amendments that need to be made. And if they want it recorded as, that they have abstained as DA, we'll respect that for now. And perhaps debate about it later, but it shouldn't stop us from approving this. We went home yesterday to especially say that you're going to read this and come back the following day. I think the basis of the argument should have been rather put differently or on a different platform, but it shouldn't stop us from adopting this report.
I think that's a very important intervention, Honorable Schmidt. Do you find fault in the report? Leave the chamber for now. Do you find fault in the report? But also, let me stop there for now. Do you find fault in the report?
Mr. Chair, I'm going to answer you this way. If you're going to put your political reflection on this report, I want to be placed in a position where it means abstaining from this report to allow me to put our view in Parliament. Then it will, if it needs to be done that way, we will abstain from the report. So it seemingly, if we are going to agree with that report, we're not going to have the ability to countenance what you have to say in Parliament on your. So we abstain from the report, not that we say we disagree with the contents of the report. We would like to have the opportunity of discussing this report in Parliament and therefore abstain from it. That's my answer.
So do your rules agree, as you know, does the rules allow a situation where if you abstain, does it guarantee you that then the report will be debated?
Do you want me to change it into want me to object to the report?
No, I'm asking.
Before it's me for the meeting, I don't know, Mr. Chair, I don't hope so, but hopefully it will allow me the opportunity.
See, because you see, the issue here is that it's a matter of principle. Because you are not objecting to the content of the report, you are preparing yourself in case when I introduce the report, I introduce the report politically.
Mr. Chair, if it means that we will be allowed to debate the report if we abstain from it, then we will be abstaining in future with every single report in order to be able to debate it in Parliament. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. Well, let's put that to test, because it might not work out that way.
It might not.
Because if the rules say the report is introduced for 5 minutes, we will introduce it for 5 minutes. But you know what does this do? It creates an atmosphere that Honorable Lucas is avoiding. Because we will play the same game that you're playing.
He started with the game.
No. You're starting the game because we've been introducing reports in that fashion all along since 2009.
Not with the content of a report which is there.
No. All along, we can go back to hindsight. You will find out that this is what we've been doing all along. But now, if you want to play oppositionist politics in your true sense, it's fine. Then it means when we sit around this table, we will look at each other as opposition and ruling. And that's how we're going to conduct business into the future. I don't know what will it do to you. I don't know what will it do to us, because it takes away cooperation that is supposed to be there. And remember that these are the House rules. These are not my rules. But now, don't run away, Honorable Tindo.
I'm hanging around, and I should have left an hour ago, Mr. Chair. I need to go and do something with it. But in a sense of cooperation, that's how far I am trying to ensure cooperation.
Okay.
I just need to support this report.
I just want to come and end it. So, you say you are abstaining. Okay. Honorable Lucas, the IFP, are you. You agree that we have to report, okay. Honorable, Bigani, the ANC?
I'm done with the ANC, I agree with the report, Chair.
Let's
report that, Dr. Chair.
Let's record it as such. And then it will be dealt with accordingly. Now, the other issue is the very report that is going to make us not to be friends. The report on the implementation of the mining charter. We're not going to lie to the country. If there's no transformation, there's no transformation. And we're going to be blunt about that. As we have begun, then you must be blunt in saying
there's transformation in as far as, you know, GA is concerned. So you feel free to do that. Now, these two reports, two sets of reports, you can go to the what you call it. These two sets of reports, what we are going to do is, as we have requested, they are going to be written, and early next year, we are going to then look at these reports. And in terms of what we drafted from the program, is that on the 17th of January, when we come back, we are supposed to be looking at minutes and the outstanding reports. We will then be dealing with this report as well in that, and that we would then be having a workshop on the 8th of February. We will not be adopting this report on the 17th of January, because we are still going to subject it to the discussion in that broader workshop, and which we hope that it's going to be a whole day, and then come back and deal with this report after we have listened. The intention as well would be that when we work out oversight, we would then have to have a roadshow to go out there to communities as we solicited their views. We must go back to them and say, this is what we found. These are the amendments that we are proposing or recommending. We should have dealt with our report and submitted it, so that then we share with them that we've listened to your plight, and that we are taking this this position. But in this program, I don't want us to deal with it now, because we will have to include one other Friday, because we need to deal with these entities within a shorter space of time to allow us the space to get able to deal with other matters. So therefore, this is the report that we're going to deal with next year. And all right, we didn't move this report.
Can I just add something to this mining charter report? You know, also perhaps going back to what Honorable Schmidt is now arguing about from the previous report, it goes back to what I said yesterday, that perhaps it's a need, especially with the mining charter, because from our side, from the ANC, I know for a fact that we've deliberated a great deal around the various issues of the mining charter, and we feel that there's still a big gap. There's no indication of a transformation process that will be viable for everyone. As a result, there's a lot of issues we need to look into, including the MPRDA in relation to the mining charter. So the opposition as well, from the different parties, it would be helpful if you could come with your own view. I still maintain that. If you could come with your own view in terms of how you view this mining charter after the deliberations we've had in terms of the public hearing from the various community members that we met. Because out of that, I really wouldn't be at ease if we don't have an opportunity to bring out our views, as the ANC in particular, to say that this is how we see relevant changes that need to take place. Especially based on the fact that, I think we once mentioned that, Chairperson, that the mining charter was actually put into a gazette already.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that it was put into the gazette doesn't necessarily mean the committee had knowledge thereof, or the committee agreed with what was in there. Because from our side, being the ruling party, we still have objections to the present gazetted mining charter, where we feel that there's more additions that are needed in relation to that charter. That is why I would definitely not support us approving this document now. So the opposition itself must then be able to bring out their views as well. It might not be an issue of us agreeing on it, but at least we'll be able to give recommendations, final recommendations, that we did discuss under one table or on the same platform. Because there's a lot of points that we need to go into. If I had mentioned but one, the very issue of women participation in mining, that is that clause of 10% that has been taken out completely. There are views even from different organizations said it should be included, but they have put differently.
I think, yes, you're right. But the whole idea of having hearing is to get another point of view from other role players. And then once you come back from this, we've got to discuss the mining charter. Why the mining charter went wrong is that the committee didn't have patience, because there were issues that are coming up now, which came up then. And they said, no, we'll vote for it. And there was no understanding within the committee, when the mining charter was being discussed.
They didn't come here.
No, I'm saying we discussed this at our committee with the previous, you weren't here.
Oh, you mean the way the original mining charter, all right.
And we tried to make the impact there, but there was time, and we had to, because we were pushed. Eventually, we went to think, one of the things that came was the old order rights. We tried to say, don't push this stuff, because there are a few more things that you're going to follow. No, we're going to do it. So I'm just pleading that we have to go to that process. And we mustn't say, next week we're going to debate it. And that's what causes the major problem.
No, we can give the assurance, Honorable Lucas, that as we said, we don't want this process to be one of the top shows. So, hence, we are applying brakes on this. We want the document to be right. We want all the recommendations made by all those that presented condensed into one document. And then, as a committee, we must sit down and then fine comb that, and then take that document and say, what is our own feeling on this document? Where do we want amendments? How must those amendments be? Once we have done that, you can be rest assured I've already indicated to the minister that we are going to amend the money chart. She basically said, by all means, once you have made up your minds as a committee, what you want to see changing, please, let's sit down and talk. Because she also indicated to me that this time around, in this new mining charter, they've made provision for annual reviewer. It's no longer going to wait for 5 years. Every year, the mining charter is subject to review. So which means there will be space for our amendments to be effected.